Yes, he does.
That's a beautiful tribute. But that tribute makes me realize that I still have a lot to do. Amen. God is not through with me yet. And I will be here. I happen to be in the B class. I never was supposed to be a very smart person. I'm in the B class. So I'm going to be here. And I hope I will be here to see every one of you become a registered voter and use your vote in order that we can destroy the evils yes. that we have in our country. And I believe that Martin is looking down now, Martin Luther King, whom to me was just Martin, because I'm old enough for his mother. And when he came to Selma, people rejected him. I believe we could make a type of plan that we are going in different places and we are going to get people to realize that a voteless people is a hopeless people. And the only way that we are going to be able to get our rights is to get the ballot. And when we were small, we used to decide that we're going to make a resolution. And, of course, every year the resolution was, I'm not going to tell any more stories or lies. But I would like to see you make a resolution on this day, a resolution that I am going to become a registered voter, if you're not, because if you haven't voted in 2 years, you've lost. That you are going to exercise your ability as an American citizen and vote. That's, I would like for you to make that resolution this day, that you're going to exercise your God-given rights and become a registered voter. I worked with Dr. King. And I cried when he came to Selma because on the street that my office was on, we had all of the professional African Americans. Not one of them came to him and said, thank you for coming. I am glad that you're here. I would like to give you a drink of water, or I would like for you to come to my house. Nobody. Because you have evil against good. And the people who were evil feared getting together. Because they were very successful in dividing and conquering. So they said, don't have Dr. King to come into Selma. They even called me. Because he's a rabble-rouser. He's an agitator. He's a communist, and most of them didn't know what communism was, but that's what the white folks say, so we are not going to have anything to do with it. And some of these professional people closed their doors, and the only place he had to go was to my office and to the house, so I turned everything over to them. And thank God, out of that came, as you know, not only Resurrection City, but also the March the 7th, which was known as Bloody Sunday. So I would like for you to make that resolution this day that you are going to follow in the footsteps of Dr. King, the little thing, to register, vote, and become a first-class citizen. He was rejected, but so was Christ. Mahatma Gandhi was rejected. Kennedy was rejected. Martin Luther King was rejected. But all of them left footprints on the sand of time. But you know, God has leaders to take up the helm. and to have somebody to carry it on. And we have this day a man who is walking in the footsteps of all of these people, a combination of trying to right the wrongs. Unfortunately, we went to sleep after 1965. Until 1967, people got positions. And they fought for it. But the young generation feels as though it has everything made. We don't have to do. We can go in any hotel. We can go into any restaurant. We don't have to sit in the back of the bus. But you don't have it made. The evil spirit, like a mold. I don't know whether you know anything about molds or not. But in my grandmother's home in South Carolina, we would see the ground breaking. We couldn't see what was under it. But there's something like a mole. And as it goes along, it breaks the ground. So you don't be like the mole. You come up to the top and break the ground and break out. Because self-esteem is something that everybody can have. You are your brother's keeper. You are God's child. And we know that we have to have leaders. This is something that I would like for each and every one of us to realize, that leaders are not those that feel that, well, I want to be a leader tomorrow, and I'm going to lead. God makes leaders. And we refine those leaders. Thank God that we are now at the place that we don't look at the color of the skin, but the contents of a man's character, regardless of whom he might be. But we have to fight hate. And I am so happy that the gentleman whom I am sitting or standing beside is a man who will tell anybody, hate does not help. Hate only destroys the hater. It used to be a time that people of color were hated because of the color of their skin. But hate is like it's like a cancer. It starts sometime with just a little pimple. And if you don't stop it, it grows. It grows into a sore. Then it takes over the whole body. And that's what hate has done. It's not because of the color of a person's skin that people are hated now only. It's gone into our cities, our counties, and even our nation. They hate. And this is one man. Talk with him day or night. Wake him up, and he'll tell you that love can overcome everything. That we have to love. We have to look at the person's inside. And I am very proud to say that this gentleman is a man that I have known for many years. And it's not because of what somebody said. Like Martin. When Martin Luther King, before he came into Selma, Martin Luther King was told that don't go into that section. He was hated. But he did what he was supposed to have done. And that is what God had him to do. And then he took him away. If he were living today, maybe the rabble-rousers might have killed him physically, mentally, rather than physically. But he did the job that God had him to do. And I think of people as, let's say, a school. Here, the teacher comes in and says that I'm going to give an examination today. And I want you to take your papers and pencils out, and we're going to have an examination. Okay? In this class, you have Martin Luther King, you have Mahatma Gandhi, You have many other people, including the Kennedys, including Lincoln. You have Lena LaRouche. And because of my age, you got me. Then the teacher says, she passes out the examination. Then she says, now, I want you to be sure that you're quiet and do your work. And as soon as she turns her back, you find, let's say, Martin Luther King. Miss teacher, I've finished. Bring your paper up here. She looks at it. You have a perfect score. You may pass on. And he passes off of the scene of this earth.
All right.
And
all
God right. says, right. come up a little higher. You've done a good job.
All right, all right.
The Kennedys, 15 minutes afterward, the same thing. Okay, you've got a good score. You may pass. But 40 minutes pass. The time is only 45 minutes. 40 minutes pass. Many of the people have finished their examination, and they pass on. 45 minutes pass. The bell has rung. And Lyndon and Rush and I are still working. So we are here for a purpose. And I am so happy to see a man that knows no color. He's colorblind. He is working for people, for the human race. And he realizes that we are our brother's keeper, whether we are on this side of the ocean or the other side. And he realizes also, unless people throughout the world begin to recognize people, justice, understanding, love, humility, then we have not completed our job. So I introduce to some of you, present to others, the man that God has ordained as a leader for people throughout the world, Lyndon H. LaRouche.
Thank you, young lady.